I read something this week that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't. It was a true story written down by author Ben Patterson. He told about a submarine that was rammed by a ship off the coast of Massachusetts, and that submarine sank to the bottom. There was a rescue attempt going on, and as part of that, there was a deep sea diver, and as he was down there, he heard tapping on the metal walls of the submarine. He listened and realized in time that it was Morse code, and he started to decode the message, and the message being tapped out from inside that sunken submarine full of men was, "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" I don't know what you're all going through in your lives, but I know in a room this size, there may be somebody wrestling with that question. Is there any hope in light of what I'm facing? And I want to tell you, if you came here with that question tonight, you came to the right place. I want to tell you, there is hope in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul calls him Christ Jesus, our hope. Our hope, the hope of every believer. Now you might be saying, what is hope? Let me tell you what it's not. It's not like being a Cleveland Browns fan that I hope the Browns will win the Super Bowl sometime. Like maybe this century. Because that's probably not going to happen. Sad to say. I might get surprised someday. Sorry, Sam. Maybe you're hoping, we're wishing for that, but that's not biblical hope. Biblical hope, when Paul says Christ Jesus is our hope, I think of what J.I. Packer said. He said, "Optimism is a wish without warrant." That's what I have for the Browns winning the Super Bowl someday. "Christian hope is a certainty, guaranteed by God Himself." That's who Jesus is for the believer. And I want to talk about three questions related to hope tonight. The first one is, why should believers hold on to hope? The answer is because nothing is impossible with God. We see that right in the Christmas story. Remember Luke chapter 1, Mary's out going about her day. Angel shows up, "You're going to have a baby, and oh, by the way, he's going to be the Son of God." Mary has a great question here. Luke 1:34, she said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" That's a really good question. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." You know what I love about Mary? That was enough for Mary. In beautiful, humble, simple, childlike faith, she replied, Luke 1:38, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I may not understand all the ins and outs of this, but I'm in. I want what the Lord has for me. And I think, man, may that be our response today. No matter how impossible the situation looks that we're in. Lord, your will be done. I'm in. And may we be those who believe that if God decides to do something, if it's His will, nothing can stop Him. Right? Any Star Wars fans in here? Raise them high. Don't be shy. This is a church where it's okay to like Star Wars. Okay. All right. Just want to let you know. You remember that part when Han Solo is about to fly through an asteroid field? And C-3PO wants to tell him the odds. He says, the odds of navigating that asteroid field successfully are 3,720 to 1. Remember Han Solo, one of his greatest lines? Never tell me the odds. Never tell me the odds. Why am I talking about that? Well, I can imagine God wanting to say the same thing when people think up reasons that He can't do something. I can imagine Him wanting to say, I spoke and created galaxies out of nothing. I crumbled the mighty walls of Jericho like a sandcastle. I made the sun shine all night long for my servant Joshua. Never tell me the odds. I make the odds. Now, I'm not saying God said that, okay? So don't write me nasty letters. I'm just saying I can imagine Him saying that. Second question, why must believers hold on to hope? Because it gets darkest before the dawn. How many of you know that right now in this fallen world? I see some hands going up. You're going through some stuff. Some painful things. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Maybe you have. But even something as wonderful as giving birth to the Son of God had its hard sides. Think about that song, Mary, Did You Know? And we know from Scripture, she knew a lot from what the angel told her in Luke chapter 1. But some things she would find out along the way. And did you know some of those things that she would find out and experience would be very painful? Right at the beginning, Matthew 1 verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. You know what that means? The man she was betrothed to did not believe her. Put yourself in her shoes. The hard questions you'd be wrestling with. Can you imagine not being believed by the man you're engaged to? And you didn't do anything to warrant his distrust. Thank God the dawn came. Matthew 1 verse 20, but as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Or let's jump forward a little bit. How about the words of the old man at the temple? You remember when Jesus was a baby? And they took him down there and met a guy named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 34 says, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. That was his word for Mary, the mother of Jesus. What did that mean? Some of you know what that means. You know the Gospels. She would see her son experience things that would crush the heart of any mother. Mothers in here with kids, put yourself in her shoes. Not only did she see her son rejected by many in the nation, she saw the culmination of that at the cross. She was there. John 19, verse 25 says, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Put yourself in her shoes to see her son suffering on the cross, wanting to care for him probably, but while he's suffering, he's selflessly caring for her needs, making sure John's going to take care of her while he's being mercilessly tortured. How that must have torn her mother's heart wide open. Imagine that's your boy. While she was there, she saw firsthand things like the following from Matthew. Matthew 27, 44, the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him. Talk about darkness before the dawn. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Thankfully, the dawn came. What does 1 Peter 1:3 say? It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a minute. How thankful she must have been to hear that wonderful Sunday morning news. He's alive. He's alive. I saw him die, but he's alive. Listen, I want to tell you something. When you have a Savior buried on Friday and out moseying around in the garden on Sunday morning, there's always hope. That's why Peter calls it a living hope. No matter what you're going through. But still, you might be saying, how can I hold on to hope with what I'm going through right now? I lost somebody I love. Going through this disease that won't let go. Going through this financial crisis. I got let go from my job. My family's falling apart. How can believers hold on to hope? Because believers know the best is yet to come. Whatever I'm going through today as a believer, whatever suffering is temporary, the best is yet to come. Because in 1 Peter, when he talks about being born again to a living hope, verse 4, he goes on, we're born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading. What a contrast with so many things in this world. Put my hope in this, it breaks down. Put my hope in this, lets me down. Not this inheritance. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. I was in a crowded Fry's parking lot a couple weeks ago. And I saw a bumper sticker. I'd never seen this acronym before. If you're going through something right now, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe this will bless you like it blessed me. An acronym for hope. You know what it was? It said, "Hold on. Pain ends." Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, maybe not next month or next year, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that pain will come to an end. It's not forever. Hold on, pain ends. That's the hope Jesus brings. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, "We have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." What's that mean when it says He's the Savior of all people? Well, He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the propitiation for the sin of the world. But what's that second part mean, especially of those who believe? Listen, that means only those who believe can claim that eternal life and forgiveness that He offers. Only those who believe enjoy the benefits. Have you believed in Jesus Christ for your forgiveness? Have you believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your hope? I can't make that decision for you. Have you? John 1:5, one of my favorite verses. Those who believe in Jesus experience this. Yes, it's a dark world, but John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I like that verse because it acknowledges this is a dark world. But Jesus stepped into it. He was killed on that cross, but He rose again and ascended, sent the Holy Spirit. The darkness has not overcome it. Now think about that verse. Even the origins of our closing song tonight fit the theme well. Light in the darkness, hope in the darkness. True story, river flooding had damaged the organ in a little church in the Alps. It was Christmas Eve, 1818. Church leader Joseph Moore brought a Christmas poem that he wrote to musician Franz Gruber. And he asked the impossible of Franz. This is on Christmas Eve. Organ's broken down. He said, "Please compose a guitar accompaniment for this poem for tonight." That's a few hours away. I've asked Aaron for some stuff. I've never asked you for that, right? Talk about crunch time. But Franz Gruber pulled it off. A few hours later, the people sang Silent Night for the first time in history as Gruber strummed away on his guitar. I thank my dad for sharing that story with me. The organ repairman eventually got to that church. He was so impressed by a copy of the song, he decided to spread it around the region. The rest is history. But even that little story reminds us God does work in the darkness. And hope cries out to every believer, wherever you're at. Nothing is impossible with God. Yeah, it gets darkest before the dawn. But the best is yet to come. Jesus is our hope. So I'm going to pray. We're going to light those candles as a visual picture of that light in the darkness and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the light in the darkness. Then we'll sing that song together. Father, I praise You for the hope that is in Jesus Christ. I know there's some people hurting here. They're at all different stages of the journey. Some of them are not seeing the answer. I pray You'd meet them in their pain. Some of them are. I praise You for a story I heard this week. There's a dad in our church. You know, Lord, he went down to the valley not knowing if his daughter was going to make it in the hospital. He brought her back up with him to celebrate Christmas. Thank You. Thank You. For those still waiting and holding on, meet them where they're at. Jesus is a merciful high priest, gives grace and mercy in our time of need. Help them hold on, because pain ends. And if there's anybody here who's not a believer, Don't let them leave without receiving that gift that Christ died for their sin on the cross. He rose again. And through faith in Him and what He did, they can become children of God tonight. Bring them home, Lord. Be glorified as we prepare to sing. Light our candles in Jesus' name. Amen.